Okay.
So let me welcome Alexander, who will be presenting dynamic bot blocking with web server access log analytics.
Okay. Thank you. So my name is Alexander, and instead of starting from who I am, I'm going to start from what we do. We develop TeamPSFW. It's a high-performance hybrid of HTTP accelerator and firewall directly embedded into the Linux TCP/IP stack. So essentially, we continue the TCP/IP stack with protocols TLS and HTTP. Everything works inside the Linux kernel. The main focuses for the product are high performance and security. We emphasize web security and complete DDoS protection, including volumetric DDoS protection and L7 DDoS protection. For volumetric DDoS protection, we provide also XGP model, TeamPSFW XFW, which is firewall against volumetric DDoS. Thanks to in-kernel implementation, there is no copies, context switches, a lot of overheads are eliminated. So typically, TeamPSFW outperforms traditional HTTP service in terms of high throughput and low latency. In terms of security, TeamPSFW implements very deep HTTP parser, which uses about magnitude larger number of states than usual HTTP parsers. And this way, we can catch a lot of injection attacks right on HTTP parsing stage. So we don't need additional security filtration stage. There are a lot of rate limits from the basic request rate limit to more advanced HTTP to control frame frames rate limits. JavaScript and cookie changes are out of the box. And this also light key value database, TempestDB, which stands, which keeps web cache and filtration rules. Thanks to TCP/IP stack integration, TempestFW is coupled with NetFilter, so you can write multi-level filtration rules like block all the traffic from particular IP address and having particular value of referral header. Today I'll be mostly focusing on bots and how TempestFW handles the bots. There are different types of bots. The first one is DDoS. That could be flat or slow HTTP. With flats, it's very easy to detect and block because they're characterized with high volumes of packets or requests. Slow HTTP is more difficult to catch because there are no so high connection rates or request rates, but they target memory exhausting or CPU or socket. But it's still possible to catch them. The security scanners, password crackers, they're also easy to detect because they usually imply high rates of HTTP error responses. And when we talk about bots, we usually mean specific types of the bots. That, content scrappers one of the most popular bots, and they're so widespread because of AI. AI needs a lot of data to learn, and usually the data is scrapped using the bots. The e-commerce abusing like inventory scalping, the booking bots, for example, if some public service provides some appointment, the bot can get all the appointment and sell them for something. So, and there are a lot of types of the bots. Why it's hard to protect against the bots? DDoS is simple, security scanners are simple, but for example, for scrappers, there are cloud vendors which provide proxies for helping bots to bypass protection. They can provide thousands of IP addresses. For example, AWN experiences such scrapping, which caused to be DDoS attacks against them. They can solve CAPTCHA, JavaScript challenges. They can pretend the browser means that if you just send simple HTTP request to HTML to the, through the proxies, they also generate requests for CSS, JavaScript, and other included resources. They provide impersonalization, consistency. I'll talk about it later. And advanced plans provide behavior mimicking human behavior. This screenshot from the web search, and basically you can Google any large vendor, CoreAlpha, Akamai, whatever you can name, like top 10, and there are plenty of companies providing services to bypass the services. And the last one highlighted, Zenrose provide very nice technical article, how do they actually bypass CrowdFare, Akamai, and the, all the top 10 service. However, that's not the end of story, and there are very active Reddit community on developing custom bot protection, so even if not enough to use cloud services, we can bypass detection with custom development. To fight with bots, we need to identify clients that could be IP addresses, the most traditional way, or that could be fingerprints. Fingerprints basically computed on the different HTTP network metrics and as a hash values. Usually we do not use user controller data like HTTP requests. Next, we classify the traffic. It could be packet rates, request rates, and so on. And also for some cases like DDoS, we need some trigger events to not to be in protection mode always. Traffic fingerprints, just like human fingerprints, are a huge number of metrics which we can fingerprint and generate a hash value. As an example is J3, the most popular fingerprint. It's over TLS parameters. And this MD5 over several TLS parameters. You might see it as a hexadecimal string in access log. J4 is further development of J3. It has three parts. The first part is just a compressed version of the data, and the second and third parts are SSH to 56. There's a problem with cryptographic hashes is that one of the main properties for cryptography hash is to well distribute the data. So if you have two points which are different only in one bit, you get the fingerprint values which are different in all the bits. However, if we use fingerprints for some machine classification, we need some similarity metrics. So if you have very similar values, we need a very similar fingerprints. And also inside the kernel, cryptography API is very expensive. You need to store and restore FPU state for this. Just mentioned P0F, it's also over all the network layers, but also tries to guess software versions. We developed our own fingerprints, which do not use cryptography, to be fast and to be machine learning friendly. This is a small example how it is computed, just like very similar to J3 or J4. Next, you see fingerprints in access logs, like example on the slide. And usually HTTP servers store access logs in files and as format strings. And there are performance problems with this way of storage. Format string is slow and writing to file is also slow. So it's usually hard to write the large amount of data on the files and even more hard to analyze such amount of data. So to cope with the problem, people usually use relatively sophisticated pipelines to deliver the logs to some analytic databases. We end up with ClickHouse because of high ingestion performance and powerful analytics. To quickly send our access logs to ClickHouse, we developed TFW logger, which is per CPU defeat against bots in several cases. The first case is e-commerce website. The inventory scalping is characterized with high rates of request to cart URL. In that case, we saw thousands of IP addresses and fake user agents. So we used the ClickHouse query where we find all the top TLS fingerprints which have a ratio between cart URL access to our other URLs more than 30%. And we see that the very top results not only produced a lot of requests, but also it has much larger ratio between cart requests and our others. The next one is security scanning. We run our website on WordPress, and it still opens XML RPC endpoint by default. And this is a popular endpoint for L7 DDoS attacks. And if we just query the database, how frequently it is accessed, the only more frequently accessed URL for us is index page. So it's very a lot of traffic comes from security scanning bots. Usually the endpoint is exploited using post request, and we have verified that we really reply with successful response to such post request, and in that case we were really vulnerable against the L7 DDoS. Next, we validated what the bots having the free TOS fingerprints do on our website, and we found that they, besides that endpoint, they also visit regular URLs shown in green, but all such URLs are visited with TOS fingerprints, two fingerprints ending with zero bits. And the less significant four bits in our TOS fingerprint encode LPN. It's a negation from the client which HTTP version is going to talk. And usually browsers place some value, but in this case this no place. This is quite unusual for normal clients, and we can be pretty sure that these TOS fingerprints are malicious. In that case, we didn't block the fingerprints because some false positives are possible, fingerprints can change, and we blocked the endpoint just on by URL on TPS2W site. The last example is slow HTTP. It tries to spend as much server time as possible, so we can't just get the largest cumulative time because it will be just the most popular TLS fingerprint, and we cannot just block the top talkers because it's also request producing the longest response time because it will be just unlikely clients. But if we try to intersect the top talkers with clients who produce the longest request, we might see interesting results. And in this query, we also see zero LPN and a very high value of average response time. This query is pretty large. It's not handy to write it by hands. So we developed a small extensible Python daemon which runs such queries on your behalf. Such queries are named detectors. And it can issue automatic blocking rules for IPsec, for NF tables, for Tempesta based on the detector findings. And also detectors and defense mode can be switched on by some triggers like Z-scores or manually. This also detector validation logic, so we can configure a couple of detectors, fingerprints by high requests per second or high error response codes per second, and define the threshold. This is the score value 10, meaning that when we reach 10 standard deviations, we go to defense mode. Next, the algorithm works like we firstly make the query for requests per second under attack, and we repeat the query 1 hour ago. We defend against the bots, but in our experience we saw that user agents is still reliable metrics to filter, and there are a lot of bots still exposing, not trying to pretend any real life browsers. TOS fingerprints still work in most of the cases we saw in examples. However, there are problems with Grisia, with Firefox fingerprinting protection. This is a random nose. We can live with it with just normalization of fingerprints. The good news is that even without any normalization, it means that normal browsers will produce a lot of fingerprints. But if bot doesn't try to impersonalize, we'll see a single and huge point for the same TOS fingerprint. And the bad news is that there are a lot of open source libraries to bypass and to provide impersonalization for both developers. I want to conclude with two key ideas. First one is that it might be not wise to rely solely on large vendors, because large vendors protect a lot of websites. Some of the websites are pretty large, and they are good targets for bot developers. So all the cloud proxies put significant effort into bypassing the large vendors, and the custom solution might be more reliable in comparison with large vendor. With a custom solution, I don't mean just to repeat some of the strategies from the large vendors. Instead, this is a good community discussion for in Shopify community, and the people are developing bot protection logic right on the web resource database. So if you have an e-commerce website, you have a database for your goods, for your clients, and so on, and from the database you have your secret weapon. It's a knowledge how your users interact with your website. This is a unique knowledge and unique pattern for only your resource. And this way you can integrate, just get a simple Python program, integrate it with AccessLog, with your database, production database, and develop very strong behavior analytics solution which will be resilient against bot attacks. That's all. WebShield and Tempest are available on GitHub, just in case there are a large knowledge base what we can do on Volumetric side. That's all. Thank you. And maybe you have time for questions.
We have time for questions. So.
I was wondering how you deal with the difference between like a DDoS and a hug of death, where you've got like thousands of legitimate clients who've all like got a specific page from Reddit or something.
Sorry, difference between DDoS and what?
Hug of death.
Pardon?
Hug of death. Like when like somebody posts a link to Reddit, and so like you suddenly get tens of thousands of people all going to one page, but they're all real
people. Mean like a flash crowd, right?
What?
Well, you mean just like legit users just have a lot of traffic, right?
Yeah.
But legit, normal users.
Yeah.
For now, it's almost impossible to do with rate limits, but it's possible to do with behavior analysis. One of the point is that during DDoS, you never see some sophisticated patterns like the first year. Request index page, then traverse to some goods page, then make some search, and make a more or less normal traffic. So the second point, classify delay weighted transition graphs, I believe is a good way to differentiate a lot of real users from DDoS traffic. And DDoS traffic usually very simple, just requesting the same resource. Did I answer?
We still have time for a question, I think. But please be quiet. Please don't go in yet. There will be time for that. Any more questions? No questions.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you
for listening.